B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in a drive time slot, it's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. So we're broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, on a Thursday. All right, so Thursday is a day where, you know, we'll talk about a lot of different things. But I got to focus on a couple things early on. And a lot of people are talking about it. A lot of people react to what a coach says in press conferences. Now, I have trained myself not to react, and it's only because I have been in this business for a long time and I'm fairly jaded and cynical about what they say, because what I know about coaches at press conferences is that they are just trying to get them over with. They're just trying to survive. Most of them don't know what to say unless you're a really smart guy like Bill Belichick, because he knows exactly how he's going to proceed, and you're going to like it. But a guy like Doug Peterson, who I don't think is one of our great thinkers, and I'm not trying to put him down. Some people are better thinkers than others. I don't think he's a great thinker. Just tries to talk his way out of a press conference without taking inventory or anticipating the moment about what he's going to say, so he doesn't look like he's not that sharp. So the only way I can display this, Tyrone, I guess, is can we play some of what he had to say today? I know Anthony was going over it a little bit and talking about it. He is talking himself in circles. Now, there are two ways to look at this. One is, the guy that talks himself in circles has no idea what's going on. Like, he's completely lost. And that's a fair assessment if you're an Eagle fan, and it's worrisome. Now, if your head coach is just spinning his wheels, he has no feel at all. He knows nothing what to say. He has no direction. That means he doesn't know where his team is and doesn't know where he is, right? That's a lost cause. The other side of it is, hey, you know what? He's got to do these things. He's not that sharp. He doesn't know how to proceed. So whatever words come out of his mouth are irrelevant and should be irrelevant to the fan, depending on how you view it. So, like I said, I view it a certain way. Guys like Tyrone, you view it a completely different way, and you view it the way I suggested that a lot of people would view it, which is you see a guy very unsure of his own self, which means you need to worry about the team that he's actually coaching.
Yes, indeed. I have three different things whenever you're ready. These questions seem like the type you could anticipate ahead of time,
right,
and have a stock answer. Uh-huh. And in my opinion, he goes 0 for 3.
Okay. And listen, the only way you can determine this is if you listen to the words and then you make some kind of an association and connect dots as to whether this is a lost guy at this particular point. So let's fire you. What's the first one we're going to play?
The first one is he's asked about what message he's delivering to his team entering the Giants game.
Okay, the message to the team.
The main message is, listen, we're in a must-win situation. We know that. And really, it started last week, you know, and really coming out of the bye, if you want to think about it, go back a few weeks. But
okay. What exactly about that bothered you?
Okay. So what message are you going to present to the guys? Because everybody knows the Eagles still control their own destiny, and that in some way is a positive. They went out. They win a division. They host a playoff game. So what message are you going to deliver? Oh, that we're in a must win. And if had he stopped right there, mm-hmm, I can accept it. But then he says, Well, just like last week. Well, so you mean to tell me you told them it was a must win before the Dolphins game and you gave up 37 points to them? And then he doubles back on his own without a follow-up and says that it's been must win since the bye and they've gone 0-3 since the bye, which tells me he has nothing.
All right. Now, here's the way I look at this. He starts talking. All right, now a guy who is not a sharp thinker starts talking and he brings up the notion of this being a must-win situation. But then his brain says, well, it would be nice if I embellished this because now I'll tell everybody that, well, actually every game was a must-win situation, that we needed to win every game. So that's where he gets himself trapped because he's unable to sort out the thoughts. You're right, he should have said this is a must-win game. But he thinks he's helping his cause by saying, well, I better show the fans that we had a must-win mentality in every game because that means we're fighting in every game and we're not giving away games. That's my interpretation of that.
Okay, now the second one, they ask if anybody, has he lost anybody in the locker room? He says no, fine. And the simple follow-up was, how do you know? And here is his answer.
I can just sense and feel, you know, the energy of the group. Listen, we're all disappointed, but they also understand we've done this to ourselves, and they're ready to go back to work. And I've got to bring that energy, and then that's what spreads out through the rest of the team.
Okay.
Huh?
Now, what...
All right. What does that mean?
No, what was listen, if you're the coach and you're asked the question, have you lost the team? What are you going to say?
You're going to say no, but...
Okay, you're going to say no.
But then he says...
And then, but when they ask, well, how do you know that? He's going to say, what? What is he supposed to say? Well, I can sense the energy of the team. It's all propaganda. It's just trying to get through the thing. Like, he's not going to give you a literal answer. Like, a question like that is not going to elicit a response. Yeah. Yeah. I've lost the team, and I see them in the locker room, and they're all moping around. And, like he can't go there.
You're right. But my thing is, hey, well, you guys will see on Monday night. We'll be ready to play. Something like that.
Okay.
In my opinion. Again, because you could have prepared that, because you know that question is going to come.
Yeah.
When you lost
three
in a row.
Now, I'm going to tell you how we interpret it, right? What he just said was foolish. He senses the energy of the group. Well, then how do you explain the energy of the group that loses to a crap-ass team? See, this is where there's a fine line between a guy who's smart on his feet thinking, like, I can't say I sense the energy of the group. We just lost the Miami Dolphins. So I got to figure out a better way to do it. So you're making the connection that since he doesn't know how to talk his way out of the bag, that means he doesn't know how to talk to his team and coach them properly.
It seems like. It seems like they play hard for him, but he can't, just like Vigneault yesterday, talking to you, talked about if you give them a path for success, they'll listen.
Yes.
It seems like they like Doug. And they will play hard for Doug, but he is no longer providing them that path to success. That's what it seems like to me. And this is the last one.
Go ahead.
They ask him about, he said that he's not changing position coaches, and he's happy with them. He says that, and they just ask him, how do you judge your position coaches? And his answer is, well, this.
I want to be upfront with them as well. I say, listen, your performance is based on your players, right? And how well they perform. And obviously they can't control injury and all that. And that's where it starts. So the message is clear early in the season.
What? You just said you were happy with them. What position group has played well this year? So therefore, if you judge by the players' play, you can't be happy with your position coaches because just about every position stinks.
Okay. Now, you're expecting him to say, you know, I'm very unhappy with my position coaches. They stink, and I made a real bad mistake in hiring these guys. What do you want?
What I want him to say is, you know, it's a lot of things. It's a complex answer. Uh-huh. I see how hard these guys are working.
Uh-huh.
I believe by the end of the year, we'll be pretty happy with my guys.
Okay.
Not, well, it's based on the players. They're cutting players. They're cutting starters. They're cutting starters.
All right. So you're saying he's digging himself deeper by these press conferences, and he's giving the fans an indication that he has no idea what he's doing. Now, here's the thing about liking a head coach, which I find is just mindlessly ridiculous. His players like him. Of course they like him because he doesn't press his foot on them. Players want to be coached, but they like the comfort of a coach who does impress them because they can get away with their own pace. it's the coach that you kind of have a semi-dislike for that is the most effective coach, because that means he's pressing your walls. So this notion that Doug Peterson has coddled these players is an absolute deterrent to this team winning. No one has been accountable because this head coach does not make them accountable. Now, that said, we're stuck with him. So forget about the notion of Doug Peterson being fired this year or them going in another direction. He's not going to do that. And so the whole picture now we paint, the taint is off of him. 2017, no matter what you want to categorize it, it's gone. And now you're seeing a guy for what he really is. In 2017, his methodology may have worked. It doesn't work now. He is confused. He is not a great thinker on his feet. All of that has been exposed. The fact that his players like him is a bad thing. They're not playing for him. If they were playing for him, do you think you would allow six straight scoring possessions to the Miami Dolphins? Do you think they would hop into Bill Belichick? Meanwhile, after our game, Bill Belichick, when he stops a team like Miami from scoring six times, he's in their butt. And at the end of the day, they're bitching and moaning about him being in their butt. And they walk away to the car and they go, wait, we won. 610-632-0975. We'll talk about it. How does this make you feel? The words he's saying, does it make you think that he has no idea how to coach this football team? 610-632-0975. It is a Fantasy Football Thursday, so we'll have Eric Cabral on 3:30. As we get closer to 3:30, we'll give you methodology on how you get a question into Eric Cabral. In the meantime, let's break. We'll come back. Your conversation, phone calls are next on the Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
It's the 2 o'clock hour on the Mike Misnelli Show. 2 o'clock hour brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Time to start the Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you're wondering what to get your family this year or the man in your life, give them their weekends back. Husqvarna Auto Mower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Yes, the magical little robot mower. What better gift can you give dad? Check out the auto mower in person. They're at the showroom in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie.
Hello, Mike. Thank you. 300 votes exactly on this one so far. Do you still believe in Doug Peterson? 64% say yes. 36% say no.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it. By the way, last night I got to mention this because I don't know if I've ever had more fun taping a TV show than last night.
I don't think
Last night we taped two episodes of the Philly Feud. And of course, our great producer, NBC Sports, Philly Booney, was a member of the panel on the second taping.
Yeah.
The first taping, I was unexpectedly hysterical.
It was so good.
The union versus the union. The Sons of Ben fan group versus the union couple play, including union legend Sebastian Letou.
Yes.
Letou. Who was the captain of the team.
Yeah.
And he was hysterical.
He was great.
He was like so into it. And he get this French accent and he's, you know, he's outraged at some of the answers, right? Sacre bleu, I went.
At one point, Mike was like, sacre bleu.
And then here comes the listeners, a team of Jim from Saturday, Vicente, his crazy self as usual, Drew, who's on hold now from Westchester,
and
Jerome from West Philly, against a team where Tyrone was the captain, Anthony Mark Farzetta and Booney.
Yeah.
And it was hysterical. It was one of the all-time competitions. I can't tell you who won because, obviously, I don't want to spoil it when the episode actually airs. I can tell you this. It was a thrilling conclusion.
It really was.
It was dramatic.
The entire game was just, it was just so good. The whole time.
It was
so
highly
funny.
Competitive.
It was so competitive, so hilarious, so intense.
I had a lot of fun. I didn't know what to expect.
I told you it was fun.
A lot of fun.
I was getting ripped by my own people for the questions.
Well, you should have been. But that's all right. That's all right. You should have been. But I got to give you credit. People say, Anthony mentioned it. You're a hell of a host.
He's a great game show host.
Crooked Zebra over here, but great.
You know like how you grew up watching sitcoms?
Yeah.
I grew up watching game shows. Right. And I always wanted to be a game show host.
You're really. So good at it.
I don't know how I didn't become one. I always wanted to be
Wink Martindale, but I'm talking about
Monty Hall type of Wink Martindale type.
I miss my window.
You might be doing
the Bob Barker microphone.
Yeah, you might be out there doing return of password with Mikey Biggs.
Alan Ludden for password.
I can say this. Isn't the best tie when he comes out? When I introduce him, then he comes out and he's like this.
He comes out working at the...
So good. And he's like, hello, everyone.
And one more thing I want to say.
Thank you to all
the people that came out.
Yes.
It was nice because they stayed a while. It was a kind of a late night. Thanks to everybody that came out. It was very late for us.
But it was fun. And Booney was key. I will say that. He was. He was good.
Absolutely. Now, Booney's a genius.
Great anchor. He was a great anchor.
Well, I tell you, the callers were good.
Uh-huh.
They were
good.
Yeah, I mean, they were installed as a heavy underdog, and I can't tell you what happened, but it was a landmark finish. So we'll tip you off when that show actually airs.
I think it's looking for a 2020 debut.
Yeah, Booney's also co-signing. He thinks you found your niche. Even more than that, you could be a good game show host. It seemed very natural.
And then when he turns the point to the board.
Yeah,
and he goes
you got all the mannerisms. You got all the game show host stuff.
It's so good.
So people who haven't watched, it's a different side of Mike Missanelli. Game show host is different than talk show host.
Absolutely.
Very different guy. Like you're getting a different side.
And from Hollywood City in Los Angeles in Burbank. It's the Philly Feud.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I missed my window.
It's never too late. You didn't miss the window.
It's the windshield wiper. Doug Peterson. All right, let's go to Drew Westchester to start things off. Drew!
Yo, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Drew? How you doing?
Good, man. You had a great time last night. I won't give any spoilers out or anything. But
yeah, thanks. Thanks for coming, Drew. You were good.
Yeah, man. No, it was a great time, like Tyrone said. A lot of fun. You did an excellent job. I didn't really have anything to say about Doug, other than the fact, pretty much what you said. I think he's definitely lost the confidence of the locker room. I mean, he's not very quick on his feet when it comes to thinking, and he's just not saying the right things right now. It's not very reassuring as a fan to hear what he's saying.
It's interesting. So as a fan, you would like to be reassured by a head football coach, right? Now, how do you think he should have done that?
Yeah, that's a tough question. When you got to answer the press, he tries to pull the old Andy Reid stick and tries to avoid the questions, I think. And
I don't know that he does that. Andy would avoid the question. He keeps talking through them, and he doesn't know what he's saying.
Right, yeah, he doesn't really come up with any point, really. It's kind of just mumble for the most part.
He's trying to survive it. It's clear that he just wants to survive the press conference, and he really hasn't given any thought. Now, I don't know... There used to be a lot of coaching that went on down there. I don't know. Maybe they just go hands off with Doug and trust him. But I know Andy Reid was coached.
Yeah, probably. But real quick with my Sixers point tonight, who do you think we go with? Do you think we're going to stick with Korkmaz over Theibel?
Interesting question. I don't know, Tyrone. Yeah, what are you feeling? You feeling Korky or are you feeling Theibel?
I think the coach is Theibel because
I think Theibel needs
go
more of a deep. What's up,
Tyrone? Thinks he's going Korkmaz.
Yeah, see, I think defensively we need Theibel because Washington's not a very good offensive team, defensive team, but I think offensively they move the ball pretty well. So I think Theibel will be a better play defensively for us.
Well, he loves himself some Korky.
I know he loves himself some Korky.
All right, Drew. You know who else loves himself some Korky? Allah.
Yes.
Allah loves himself some Korky.
It does.
Al
seem.
Comes in the game. I mean, when Korkmazda is in the game, oh, Al's all about him.
Maybe he's seeing what the coach sees. He's got a lot more access. He does. He has a lot more access.
I don't know. Listen, I don't care what the coach sees. I don't care what Al sees. I know what I see. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Ronnie Hall, Missinelli, I will give you $200 if you have an airmail stamp in your purse. What a classic show.
Mets Make a Deal was a classic show.
Oh, I was great. Yeah. Mikey Mets, I wanted to talk Sixers, but I got steam coming out of my ears, okay? Almost a year ago to the day, the Patriots lost to the Dolphins 34-33 at Hard Rock Stadium in the same despicable manner the Eagles did, with a five lateral kickoff return with a crippled Gronkowski as the last line of defense. But let's get to pressers, Mikey Miss, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to compare Dougie P to Belichick. You know why Belichick gives a disgusted one word answers to the Stunod media's questions? Because they're all idiotic. But if you ask Belichick a sensible question, he will spend 5 minutes at nauseam explaining and educating to you exactly why it was done. Now, WP, what's the problem with him? I mean, look, other than Sal Powell and when Mikey Miss comes out of retirement, Our sports media are buffoons, so I understand he's dealing with questions that he doesn't want to hear. Like Andy Reid, Andy Reid gave one word answers because he was ignorant and
stupid. No. Andy Reid was smart. Andy Reid's a lot smarter than Doug.
Andy Reid
was smart enough to know how to put people off.
Unless you were from ESPN and you were in the National
League. Yeah, he would patronize them. But as Montardi, like the everyday dealing of the national media. I mean, the Philadelphia media. Andy Reid knew exactly how to handle them. And he didn't like being pressed. And very rarely was he pressed on stuff because of the way he was.
Unless Mikey Miss came out of retirement.
I just went down there one time and got under his skin.
That was great. I love you, Mikey Miss. Take care of
him. All right, man. Yeah, that was I don't even know if we had that soundbite, but he didn't like when I followed up on something. And he said, "You're very bold." We used to have that soundbite.
What was it?
It was, here it was. The circumstance was the ridiculous play that they ran. Third down and goal, or maybe fourth down, where he ran the, I don't even know what you call it, but he gave the ball to Ronnie Brown, who plunged into the line and then turned his back on the line and tried to flip it back to the quarterback. If you remember the play blew up. And it just was like the most ridiculous play you could ever call down there. A, because you never want the ball to change hands in close quarters like that, right? So I gotta press him on why he would call this kind of a play. And so the play came up. I got down to the press conference. The play came up, and the answer he tried to slip it off, and then I followed up on it. And I said, "Now, back to that play. What would make you think that would be a good play call in that situation?" And he said, "Well, if you came to practice, you would know." I go, "So you're telling me you practiced that play?" And then he didn't, like, he said something else, and then I followed up with something else, and he went, "You're very bold."
Huh. Well. Good on you, but I can't find it in the system.
Yeah, we used to play it all the time. You're very bold.
I'm fine.
Yeah, well, in any event, we have an open line, 610-622-0975. Brian in Northeast Philly. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Brian?
I was waiting for tickets on the other show, but I hate Doug Peterson, too.
Yeah, why?
I don't usually listen to the press conference,
mm-hmm.
but it irked me so bad. The fact that he said that they had a, I couldn't listen. I had to turn it off. And usually I listen because I drive all day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm trying to figure out what would be I don't even know what word I'm using here. But what would make you think that he's in charge? What could he have said? When asked those particular questions about whether he's lost the team, do you think you've lost the team? Well, how would you answer that?
How would I answer that?
Think your position coaches are doing a good job? How would you answer that?
Oh, boy. See, I'm not an NFL coach.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what could he possibly say if he told the truth, right? He can't possibly say that he's lost the team. Right?
No, you can't say that because if he lost the team.
Okay, so how would what would he say?
What would he say?
Yeah, suppose it's you. You're up there. You're asked that question. You're the head coach of the football team. How would you handle that?
It's my team. How do I lose my own team? If they don't want to be here, they can go. That's what I say.
Ah, so you would be direct. You'll be direct. All right. Yeah, I like it. Tyrell,
let's lose my own team.
Let's play that one more time. Let's play that soundbite where he was kind of asked whether he's lost the team.
I can just sense and feel, you know, the energy of the group. Listen, we're all disappointed, but they also understand we've done this to ourselves, and they're ready to go back to work. And I've got to bring that energy, and then that's what spreads out through the rest of the team.
You can see it's a nothing answer,
right? He doesn't have any answer. That's my concern.
But again, I'm saying, like, how would I answer that question? How do you know you haven't lost the team? Well, I sense and feel the energy of the group.
Period.
What? Okay, so wait, he went. What did he say afterwards? What did he say that after he said? I sense and feel the energy of the group. I've got to bring it out of him.
And I got to bring it myself. Like, he throws that in. What are you doing, Doug? Like, I don't know what he's doing. Oh, I found it, too.
You're very bold.
Yeah, there it is. That's what he said.
That's going to stay in the mix.
That's what he said back to me. You're very bold. And I said, well, whether bold or not, I just want an answer to the question. Like, why would you think that would be a good play there?
Yeah, that was a
total. I don't think you ever got around the answer.
That was the dream team season.
Yeah, people that follow you will remember that play because it was the most ridiculous call I've ever seen. And that's why I said, I have to go down there and ask him about this play. I got to press him on why that he looked down at his chart and decided to do the flip back to the quarterback, fourth down at the 2. It was mind-boggling to me.
That wild card cat thing lasted 1 year. And then after that, the league caught up to it quick and you barely see it anymore.
But I don't even think this was the Wildcat.
Yeah, because no, wasn't it a direct snap to him, and then he did something?
Flipped it back to somebody. The only guy he could flip back to was the quarterback. So that's why I'm thinking it was a handoff. Because a Wildcat actually would, I don't know. I don't remember specifically. Somebody will remember that play. I can't remember what year it was, but it was Ronnie Brown, and it was like a flea flicker at the 2.
Yeah, I remember the play now.
All right, let's go to Knowles in Westchester. Knowles, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Knowles.
Hey, Mike, I had an idea, and I just want to know if you agree with me. I kind of think this Eagles team is like the 93 Phillies. They were, when you really get down to it, they were an average team that had a great year and got kind of lucky.
Well, we talked about that a couple days ago. I hate to think that a team that achieves that kind of level can just do it on luck. I think he was successful that year. Now, whether he was successful because he was the perfect coach for that team, whether they had the right offensive coordinators, whether they had a quarterback who came in and was clutch, whatever it was, it worked, and I can't take that away from him. But you look at where they are now and look at his confusion, and it seems to me like he's not as savvy as we thought he may have been in 2017. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, I agree with you 100%. And I'm kind of nervous because we had all these high expectations for the Phillies, and they stunk, and the high expectations for the Eagles, and they stunk. And when coming in, we had high expectations for the Sixers. Do you think they're going to let us down at the end of the year, or you think they're going to make a splash?
I was a lot more certain at the beginning of the year
that they could actually go to the NBA Finals. I'm not as certain as we speak, but I think they will be in the final two.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. You got it. I mean, this is like the ultimate question now with the Sixers. I'm a little off the perch. Like, I'm not as gung-ho as I was at the start of the year.
I still think they're going. I'm just as gung-ho. I think they're going to the final.
Okay.
I hope you're right.
Now, again, they can, make me more convinced with continued good play here and finding their stride. I don't believe they have found a stride yet.
I agree, and they haven't played together nearly enough. The Richardson hamstring thing, in addition, that was kind of an unexpected thing when they got everybody else playing. So it's been less than 10 games where everybody's played together. So it's going to take a little more time, but I do, and I think they're going to make a move, an aggressive move.
I would love one guy that can get his own jump shot. Just one guy.
Yeah.
But Tobias Harris kind of can get a shot. That's about the... Everybody else is kind of more of a stationary dude.
Yeah, and that guy's going to have to come off the bench and kind of fill it up off the bench.
Yeah, like transporting the ball to open spaces, shooting 15, 20 footers. That's what I would like to say.
Got a tough week coming up. You got Toronto, Denver, Celtics, back to back to back. Those are three tough games in a row.
Greg in the little town of Bethlehem. Greg.
The Christmas City.
It is the Christmas City, Greg. It is a fine city. I visited about a week and a half ago.
Yeah?
I love the little town square there. I had a little nice dinner at the Apollo Grill.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. I think Doug coaches the way he thinks and the way he talks. And it seems like he, most people, when they're having a conversation, they're saying something, but their mind is on to the next thing that they're going to say. So there's some continuity. And honestly, it seems like Doug hits reset after every sentence and then goes off in a different direction.
You know what the key to that is? He'll repeat words. Have you ever noticed that about him?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. I mean,
he'll repeat words. What he's doing, he's searching for another thought when he repeats another word.
Right. Yeah. And, when he can't think of anything, mm-hmm. he comes back to, it all starts with me. It all starts with me. That gives you a blank slate. And, everything is fine. And I think they're going to need, before next year, a quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, you might be right. All that stuff's going to change. There's no chance that offensive coordinator is going to stay here. There's no chance that the wide receivers coach will stay here. They're already plotting it. You can just tell.
I hope so. I hope somebody's available.
You can always find another guy. I won't worry about that.
Because Wentz he doesn't have a lot of weapons, but he just doesn't look like the Carson Wentz of old.
You're absolutely right about that. He looks stiff. He looks unconfident.
Unless, I hope there's not an injury that we don't know about.
Yeah, I don't think it's an injury. Can we get it? Can we play that last soundbite that you play? Because I think there's a repeater in that. Listen for the repeater here.
I can just sense and feel, the energy of the group. Listen, we're all disappointed, but they also understand we've done this to ourselves, and they're ready to go back to work. And I've got to bring that energy, and then that's what spreads out to the rest of the team.
And that's what. There was a repeat in there.
He does it.
And that's what.
All the time. As somebody who has cut his sound.
He's a repeater.
His press conferences, he's always done that. Always.
He's a repeater.
There was points when I would try to get the sound bit down to like 15 seconds, so I would just take some of the double sayings out. Because just to get to
he's
the
repeater,
point.
He's a repeater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's infuriating as somebody who has to cut his press conferences.
Johnny two times.
All right. On the other side, in my stupid brain, because now I'm thinking of game shows, I have compiled a list of the top game shows. As it usually happens with me, I get four solid ones and then a fifth one that's kind of wide open.
Okay.
I'm excited for that.
So I'm going to go with the four I think are locks, and then you decide who the fifth one is.
okay.
among a bunch of candidates.
I was a big Game Show Network person growing up. Well, oh, I loved all the, I love all the old ones.
I actually watched the game show before there was a Game Show Network.
I watched when they made it convenient for you.
Yes. When they put all the game shows on the Game Show Network.
Yeah, but all the old ones, so good.
I had to like, what, it was like mornings when they put them on, wasn't it?
Some of them were at night. Wasn't the Gong Show at night?
A lot of times they would be before the soap operas and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, summertime mornings, like 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, game show.
There'll be that, then go to like a Young and Restless.
Take my bicycle to the convenience store down the street, grab a box of Pop-Tarts.
There you go.
And get ready for a game show.
Sounds like a great morning.
Oh, yeah. Mike Missinelli Show, it's 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 247, Mike Missinelli. We got all kinds of people sending me the actual play, Ronnie Brown play. Now, Jack says it was against the 49ers in 2011. The Eagles were up 10-3. Vic handed the ball off to Ronnie Brown. He was stopped at the goal line, and he turned seemingly on his own and decided to pitch the ball back. And it was a fumble, I think. So it was either an ad lib on Ronnie Brown, which I find hard to believe, because unless Andy Reid didn't want to bury Ronnie Brown for it. But I was asking about the play. He said, well, if you would come to practice, you would see us practice the play or something like that. So
maybe that's his way of saying Ronnie Brown didn't do what he was supposed to do without throwing him under the bus.
Yeah,
Andy
could be.
Would never throw a guy under the bus ever.
I tried to get into it with three different follow-ups on why they would call a play like that.
Yeah, I get you.
All right. This game show thing. The top four,
all right,
I think, are Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Price is Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And fourth, I got Let's Make a Deal. Now, that's old school. That might be removed. But here are some other candidates.
Uh-huh.
Family Feud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Match Game.
Mm-hmm. I like Match Game.
I love Match Game.
Match Game's up there.
Match Game's good,
here's a bust out, though.
Yeah.
Hollywood Squares.
I was going to say that.
That's a good one.
Hollywood Squares is great.
Hollywood Squares. Yeah,
both versions.
The original one.
The original.
With Peter, the host name was Peter something. And his son was Pete LeCocq, a Major League Baseball player.
Oh, really?
With the Cubs.
Well, how about that?
Peter, what the hell is this guy's name? Anyway, all right, Password.
Password is phenomenal.
A good one.
And $100,000 Pyramid.
That's also a
really
good one. That's a good
one. I like the older ones better. I don't love Wheel of Fortune, to be honest. I know it's
the popularity puts it in the top. It's like if you don't like the Beatles. But you have to acknowledge that they're, you know.
It's up there, yeah.
I mean, Van and White won the jackpot.
I also was sure when I was a kid, because I never saw any black people ever win Wheel of Fortune, that there was a time where a person got to spin four times and three of them were bankrupts and one was a loser turn. I was like, what?
That was the.
On Wheel of Fortune?
Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, I was like.
I get another bust that one, which I really like, but it didn't last long.
What?
Press Your Luck.
Which is the one with the whammy?
Press Your Luck.
That's it. Yeah.
That was the whammy.
It's number four.
That was the whammy.
Yeah.
No whammies.
That one would be, that's top four for me. I love that one.
But that didn't last very long, I don't think.
I loved.
That still shows on the.
It does?
He had the extra long microphone, and they say.
It was the young guy I'd never seen. It was some unknown dude who was the host of that.
Apparently, he did the microphone to be a creeper with the women. Because you used to do that in 70s game shows. That was a well-known thing. That guy making out with the women on Family Feud back then.
That's right.
He just go up and kiss the women.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes on the lips. Like, who's... I'm John. This is my wife. He just go up right up to the wife and kiss her on the lips.
That was Richard Dawson.
Yeah, yes, Richard Dawson.
Yeah, that was a Family Feud.
Yeah. Well, the other guy.
Hello, love.
Yes.
Yes.
Here we go.
Would hold the microphone in an inappropriate area to be a grocer, to be a grossy guy.
Oh, my
Apparently,
God.
That was a thing back in 70s was a different world.
Yeah, well, that was Gene Rayburn had the long microphone. he looked like a perv. But here's the other game show that's a contender. Joker.
Which one's that?
Card Sharks.
I like the newlywed game. And the dating game?
Bully's way into these.
All right, so wait. Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, Price is Right. Bust out top three, right?
Yeah.
All right, popularity. So you got two slots. So where are you going?
I'm going.
The $100,000 pyramid don't belong in there?
It's pretty high. And they used to get good celebrities, too. Like the top celebrities will be on that show from the day. Like the top movie stars.
Yes, they did.
They have the Osmonds on there. Like they would have all the big stars. So I think that has to be there because what show today, what game show could draw A-list celebrities to be on every single day? That's fantastic. Even into my childhood, they were still getting big singers like Luther Vandross to go on there. Even when I was a kid, Luther's on the pyramid.
Hollywood Squares used to have the regulars.
Yeah, they
right?
did.
There were two regulars. I remember. Well, there were three, actually. Joan Rivers was kind of a regular.
Yeah,
right?
She was.
And then there was the guy that wore the country dude with the hat. He wore overalls.
See, that one I didn't see as much. I saw the one with Shadow
Stevens. And he had like a straw hat.
I don't know.
Let me see. Name.
Card Sharks.
And then it was the British funny man from Bewitched. He was played Uncle Arthur on Bewitched.
Oh, my God.
That guy was a regular. What was his name? He used to have this funny laugh.
I don't remember.
Paul Lynde. That was the guy. But the hat guy, the overall dude. I never knew what his function in life was.
Oh, Vincent Price was on there, too.
Well, there you go.
Say they had the big.
Booty, what's that guy? Booty's got to do that guy.
Charlie Weaver.
That's who it is. Who was Charlie Weaver?
Charlie Weaver.
What did he do?
I think he was just an old timey comedian, wasn't he?
Like an older. Yeah, he was a country.
Hold on, let me see.
Country comedian.
yeah, he was an American actor and a comedian.
They always had the punchline. They asked the question, and they delivered the joke punchline before they got to the answer.
Yes.
All right, let's go.
He's from Ohio. He was born in 1905.
Steve in Delaware. Steve, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
What's going on, Mikey?
How you doing, Steve?
We're almost going on that way. All right, so I'm seriously losing faith in Doug Peterson as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I hear him say, and then with the product that I see on the field, you can't tell me that they're prepared. You can't tell me that this is a well-coached football team. You can't tell me
No,
that.
You are absolutely right.
You can't tell me that you're getting the best out of your position coaches when this wide receiving core is just putrid. This offense has barely been able to put up double digits for the last couple of games. We're not even going to count the Miami game. And then to lose to the Dolphins, and you tell me that these guys are prepared or that these guys are in a must-win mentality, you're lying.
All right, yeah, but here's the thing. You are absolutely right. But here's my question to you. How do you talk your way out of that? Because you're as a coach, your first dedication has to be to your players. So you can't bury anybody, and you can't bury your coaches either. So that's what I'm asking. Like, how would you – obviously he needed to handle it a different way. But, like, how would you have handled it?
Well, if I'm going to be honest, obviously we have been playing very poorly and we need to make some changes. Whether it's play calling, we need to get back to our fundamentals. But obviously it starts with me. Yes, it starts with me. We've been doing a poor job and we're going to go out there and then we're going to sit down and we're going to handle it and we're going to make the adjustments that we need to make, but we're going to come out better next week. And that's it.
Yeah, but doesn't he kind of say that?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, he kind of throws in, I've got to do better. Carson always throws in, I got to do better. You know, at this point, I go, come on.
But you have to show that on the field. And honestly, looking at this team this year, I'm tired of hearing we're still mathematically in this thing. This team is done. When you lose to Miami Dolphins,
No, I get that, but listen.
I don't want to hear about playoffs.
Well, I hear you. Like, right after the Miami game, I don't want to hear about it either. But the fact of the matter is, they're going to beat the Giants.
They're not going to beat the Giants.
You don't think so?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though. How in the world is a guy who at his best could beat the Eagles all of a sudden come off the mat and beat the Eagles?
And that's what I'm saying. If you think that they're going to beat the Giants, look at what you've seen so far. There has been.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You think Eli Manning is going to have a big enough game to beat the Eagles?
Yes.
When has he ever done it?
Yes.
He never does it. He never does it in Philadelphia. It's like a house of horrors for him, that dude. What is he, 1-12 or something?
It's pretty bad. And I actually agree. And, you know, I'm as down as anybody. They're going to beat the Giants.
They're going to beat the Giants. And then you're going to go, okay, well, you know, maybe it is pie. I hear where everybody's emotion is now. And we'll discuss that more in the 3 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic, and it's on NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.